Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on a Monday, this the 26th of September of 2022. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live, and it is very much great to be with you, wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be tuning in through the broadcast. As I always say, you know, wherever, however you're tuning in, and I'm just grateful to God that you would be, that you would just make that determination to tune in tonight. Wherever, however you're tuning in. And for those of you in Florida and areas near there, I'm praying for you. And listeners, curse Ian. No, not any humans named Ian. Hurricane Ian, that is right now in the Caribbean, headed for the Gulf of Mexico, heading north towards Florida. So we want to be cursing Hurricane Ian and believe in God that it is going to go right back out to sea and just stay out in the ocean and just stay out there and die and come to naught. Now, I watched Dr. Rodney Brown just today for a little bit to kind of see what he was saying about it. And you know, the Weather Channel will say what they're going to say. And now, 5 years ago, I wasn't really following Dr. Brown at all at the time. I was not following him at all. I had heard of the name. But 5 years ago, there was Hurricane Irma. It was heading for Florida. Initial indications were that it was going to hit Tampa and St. Pete. That whole area was going to be right on the nose of it. Like, they were going to be the ones that were going to bear the brunt of it. Now, they got some rain. They got some wind and some things like that, but wasn't what it was supposed to be. It barreled down on the Keys and Naples and places like that. Turned out to be what some would call, as Dr. Brown referred to it, as I found out years later, a nothing burger. In other words, meaning it was still a storm, it was still a large storm, but it wasn't like the biggest hurricane ever. And so prayerfully, it will not hit, you know, Tampa or anything like that. And by the time I had gotten to Tampa, as Dr. Brown had said, it was neutralized. Because they took authority over it. And so, quasi-credit Governor DeSantis there, the way he's dealing with it, and you know, doing the best he knows how as governor of free Florida. And so, so I don't know. Where's he got? I went to the auto show this weekend on Friday, the big North American International Auto Show in Detroit. They had these monster trucks outside, right near, basically across the street from Cobo Hall. I mean, from Huntington Place. And Bigfoot was there, but we didn't get to take a ride on that. We got to take a ride on one of the other monster trucks, and he went rather aggressive with it. It was fun. I enjoyed getting to ride it. There were some nice cars in there, a lot of nice ones from different automakers and the like. Seemed to me like there were a lot of electric vehicles, which of course, if you want to get an electric vehicle, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what kind of car you should drive, what kind of car you shouldn't drive. Except for this. Brittany, should they drive a van like your Toyota? Why? Obviously, you have the right to your own opinion, so listeners, you know, that's up to you. You want to drive a Toyota? Go ahead and drive the Toyota. Is Toyota my favorite? No. Not by a long shot. You know, am I a GM guy? Yep. Hummer guy? Yep. Because I think Hummers are cool. I really do. I enjoy them. And I was sitting in a Hummer, and I actually referred to it as my car. And I believe, you know, with my mouth, and I have my faith, I'm going to be able to see, and I'm going to drive, you know, a cool Hummer SUV. And you might wonder, will it be electric? I don't know. I don't know what it'll be. But praise God, I keep on believing, and I believe, and I shall receive whatsoever I ask, you know, with my mouth, believing that I am going to receive it. And so all I keep doing is keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. And so that obvious. And so and of course you shouldn't be breaking hedges either. So that doesn't meaning you just get to go be, you know, unholy. No. In fact, Dr. Buckley talked yesterday morning and about holiness. And it was very powerful. And I'd recommend that you go online and find it. And just take a listen. Amen. And I know that the Word of God will not come back void, because the Word of God works. That's why I continue to believe it. That's why I continue to do it, to do what that Word says. It's everything. But I have. Now, I want to remind you of a couple quick things, and then after that, I am going to sing a couple songs. And then after that, I'll get into the Word of the Lord tonight. So, first off, I want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life. It's about how great God has been to me, all the miracles he's done. And I tell you, he's just been so, he's been so great, so powerful. To me. I mean, it's been so powerful, all the different miracles, the different things that he's done, the different things that I've been healed of, and the faithfulness of God for me. It's just been unreal. What he's done. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com. To find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles, how the book can be a blessing into your life, as I want it to be. That's why we wrote it, so that it can be a blessing to you. And I would really love it if you would read it. Please. And let it stir up your faith as you go through and read about the miracles that he did. It's just so amazing. And, one of the things in there is my mom had said from a very young age, heal him or take him home. Heal him or take him home. Well, I haven't been taken home yet. So, guess what? That means that obviously, at least I think, its plan is for God to heal me. Amen. So I continue to believe God and just know that he is going to heal me. I keep thinking, you know, I just know in my heart he's going to heal me. And I'm going to continue to believe. And I know that he's going to do for me what I ask in prayer, believing, and I shall receive. Because that's what the Word of God says. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick is PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. As you sow your seed, please. Just be, you know, realize. It's a great thing, you know, to have in mind what you're sowing for. And not just be sowing just to, you know, for the sake of, oh, I'm going to get some money in the ground. I feel like I should give something. I don't know what I should do. What should I do? What? And then you just all be all wondering and everything and all that whole thing. But nope. You know, just, it's a great thing to sow seed and know that God, you know, is on your side. So as you sow your seed, you can sow your seed too is to, on paypal.com, of course, in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Thank you for all those who have donated. And I shall say it again. If you're feeling, it's no pressure. If you're feeling pressure on you to give, it's God, not me. Because I am doing no pressure. I am doing no pressure. And so, just but I want you to sow with this verse in your mind. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Didn't say fast, and it shall be given. Didn't say tithe, and it shall be given. Didn't say pray, and it shall be given. Said give, and it shall be given unto thee. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. Praise God. So I want to sing a couple of songs, and then after that, I want to get into the word for tonight, and then we have Football Central to get to. But first, I want to remind you that this episode has been brought to you by the wonderful taste of Coca-Cola, which you can grab from a McDonald's near you. Price and participation may vary. Tax extra. See store for details, as they say. And, of course, you can choose from the great flavors like Coca-Cola Classic, you know, Sprite, or you can be like Preacher Man and get Dr. Pepper, and you can have your pick. Now, I was going to sing a couple of songs, like I said a minute ago, and then get into the word of the Lord for this evening. I am chosen, I am free, I am living for eternity. I'm free now forever. Set my feet on solid ground. I'm free now forever. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. My heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Everything. You wash my sin and shame away. Death is breathing a brand new day. I'm yours now forever. And quickly I approach your throne. In Christ my own. I'm yours now forever. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains are gone, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains were gone. My heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Now I'm free to give, free to give, free to be. I'm free to love you, free to live, free to give, free to be. I'm free to love you, free to live, free to give, free to be. I'm free to love you, Lord. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Of you, my King, surrendering my dreams, laying down my pride, everlasting joy for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm giving you my dreams, giving up my rights, surrendering my crown, and count it all that's lost for the sake of knowing you, oh, knowing you, oh, knowing for the promise of new life, and I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Giving up you my dreams, giving you my heart, and laid all new, all down. For the sake of you, my King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness comes, it won't prevail. Because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. No. My God will never fail. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh. Yeah, yeah. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. Because the God I serve knows all. I'm not backing down from any giant. No. Because I know how this story ends. You know what? We should sing that verse again. We're going to sing that whole verse again. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant. No, because I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Jesus. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yes, you do. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good, yes. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good, yes, you do. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master, that you are moving in our midst. You are right there with us. You know what we have need of, Jesus. You do make everything work for all our good. You take whatever the enemy meant for evil. And thank you that you turn it for good. Whatever it is that we're facing, everything that the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for our good. Right here, right now. Thank you that that song that we just sang would be our prayer tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person that is tuned into this program tonight, wherever they may be tuning in from, whatever device they may be tuning in on. Thank you, Master, that you know what they have need of. Thank you that you are meeting all of these needs right there, right now, because I know that you know what they have need of. Thank you that you are, in fact, meeting. Every one of those needs, for you know what they are. Even when I don't know, you do. Thank you that you're doing it for us. By doing it, I mean meeting our needs. Because I don't know what these people need. I don't know what they need. You do. Thank you that you are meeting that represent every person. Thank you for this time in the Word tonight that we have to study your Word. And these people have come with ears ready to hear, minds ready to focus, and that they will get not only that they would get something, but they would get what it is that you have for them. And I give you all the praise and all the glory for that tonight. And now I make my confessions over this program. I say that sponsors come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, and that most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this great radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen, 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 and amen, and amen. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. And we'll go to just looking here. Praise God, 42. And we'll see what it is. Actually, I want to go back up to 41. And then we'll go to 42. I'm going to start by reading with verse 41 of chapter 41 of the book of Genesis. Amen. So, if you don't have your Bible, you know, if you got your Bible open, you know, study with us. Whatever I do here, you do where you are. Amen. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger, put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes, fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And men shouted before him, make way! Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zophathath-Paze and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potiphar. Potiphar. The priest of, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence, traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt, and he stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second son was named Ephraim, and he said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do what he tells you. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. 42. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's younger brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain. But the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all of its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground to pay him honor. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied. "To buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." They replied, your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man, who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you. You are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth or not. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." He put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live. For I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison, while the rest of you go take grain back for your starving household. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an account, an accounting for his blood. they did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep. But they turned back and spoke to him, to them again. And he had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in a sack, to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain and their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey. He saw his silver in the mouth of the sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob, land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is Lord over the land spoke harshly to us, and treated us as though we were spying on the land. We said to him, 'We are honest men. We are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more. The youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who was lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether,'" and then they tell Jacob what happened. "Then I will give your brother back to you. You can give him the land." Verse 35. As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was the pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is gone. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death. Father, if I do not bring them back to you, trust them to my care, and I will bring them back." Jacob said, "My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead. He is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey that you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow." So you see, folks, it's an interesting story. So Joseph had previously been put in prison. And he had had the coat of many colors ripped from him by his brothers prior. They were trying to throw him into the pit. They wanted nothing to do with him. They wanted him gone, 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 done, done. They wanted absolutely nothing to do with him. He got thrown in prison. He got put in charge of the prisons. Then he got put in charge of Egypt. There was all the famine. You know, first there was, you know, first there was years of plenty. Then there was famine. That famine had gotten so severe that people were coming to Joseph for food because Joseph had all that food stored up. To the point where they weren't even keeping track of how much was being stored because there was so much. And people were coming to him for food, you know, as much food as they needed. So the brothers go, he thinks they're spies. I'm sure part of it was because of how they had treated him previously. Because they were not being good to him. They were doing all those bad things that I had told you about, like the stuff like the ripping the coat of many colors. And all this other stuff that they were doing, because they wanted nothing to do with the, all of with their brother. You see, Joseph was well favored. He had favor with God. He had favor with man. He had all kinds of favor. The favor of God was on his life. And I don't know what it was about it that they didn't like. And, you know, we didn't read about the interpretation of dreams tonight, but he had all these different dreams. And he, of course, in them, he saw certain things. And of course, Jacob did love Joseph more than all his children. Yes, he did. And so Joseph, he just would often be talking to God when he would have, you know, these different problems, you know, with the prison and what have you. He didn't just sit there and whine. Because many people, when they're going through stuff, they just whine. And they just will just sit there and they'll be like, they'll just be like, what is this? Why is this going on? What do I do about it? But then they should be talking to God about it as opposed to just always whining about it. They should have been talking to God, taking it up with him, not taking it up with She had trusted the Lord. I feel like that's part of how we got to be so well-favored. Because he was well-favored. I don't think it was, just because of his hair or maybe his, everything he wore. No. Because he followed God. And that was why he was blessed by God. And you see, how you get blessed if you follow God. If you don't follow God, if you're disobedient to his word, if you're refusing to do what he tells you to do, then you are not blessed. You will find yourself in trouble, and it won't be good for you. You'll be hurting yourself. So please don't hurt yourself. And so we read about tonight was about the favor of God. It's not just this manly favor, even though that can include, promotions and, things like that where they might say, you seem to be something different about you. What is it? Like, well, you seem so honest. You seem so, what's the clue? And, you could tell them, that could be a good place to tell them about Jesus. And, so even when they explained to Jacob, what all had happened, they were like, Joseph is no more. And they're like, and Simeon's gone. We'll read sometime, Jacob does later go down to Egypt to see Joseph. And then goes on from there. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Master, for this God kind of favor, that we would have this God kind of favor on us in our lives, that we would have favor with God and man, and that people would see it and they would realize, oh, these people are favored. These people have the favor of God on them. These people, they're no joke. They really do have his favor. And I thank you that we would be that people. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Now, in terms of sports, it was rather interesting. I'll start with college football. On Saturday, you had Michigan State hosting the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And Michigan State gets pummeled 34-7 by Minnesota. It had been a long time since Michigan State had lost to Minnesota like that. And let me tell you, Minnesota looks very good. Generally, when I think of a Big Ten powerhouse normally, I don't think of Minnesota. I mean, they have up years, they have down years, like a lot of other people, but they're not like what Michigan is known for, or what Penn State is known for, or what that team down south is known for. Michigan State got pummeled by Minnesota, 34-7. Second straight loss. One point it was 31-0. 31-0. But for Michigan State, all kinds of mistakes. Makes it hard to win when there's all those mistakes. So they got to clean it up. Michigan, they got it done against a Maryland team. 34-27. I'm a part of a big Michigan football group, Michigan Wolverines, on Facebook. And, man, people were, you know, complaining about Michigan, like, well, they could have done better. Like, they were, you know, like all that. And, like, I know it was ugly at times. They were down 13-10 at one point, but they came back. They got the win. 34-27. Maryland is very good. I think better than what some people thought. Now, Wisconsin had been, you know, pretty good. Pretty good. You know, they had already had a loss. Then they go to Columbus. Oh, I might think, oh, it's Wisconsin. They'll be loaded up again after last year, even though last year they wasn't the greatest form. Then got pummeled by that team in the South, 52-21. And part of what people in my Michigan group were asking was, is that team in the South that good? Or is Wisconsin that bad? Some of the commenters were like, well, that team to the South is that good. Others were like, no, Wisconsin's that bad. Others were like, I am one that would say, we'll see. We don't necessarily play Wisconsin this year. We do play Iowa on Saturday in Iowa. So that's not necessarily going to be an easy task at all. We will see what happens. Also, that team to the South jumped Georgia and are now ranked number 2. Alabama's ranked number 1. I think why they're ranked number 2 is because of that big win they got over Wisconsin. Really does help. Now, NFL. Yesterday, Lions in Minnesota. Lions fall. To the Vikings on a last-second touchdown. At one point, they were up 14-0 on Minnesota. Minnesota found ways to claw back in. Detroit would go downfield and score again. Minnesota would claw back in. Detroit missed a field goal. That if they made it, could have just sealed it. But then Minnesota went right back down the field and scored a touchdown last second to win the ball game. Lions have not won a road game since 2020, and they fall to 1-2 on the year. Goff threw for one touchdown. The running of the ball was good. They ran for two touchdowns. tonight's ball game, NFL game for Monday Night Football is NFC East or NFC East showdown, depending on how you put it. Giants versus the Cowboys. And we'll see what Zeke can do for the Cowboys as they go against the Giants. My prediction, save the horse, ride a cowboy, 32, gigantic, 26. High school. How did we do on high school? Well, Midland won a very good game up at Traverse City Central. I listened to it online. And I have to say it was a good game. The Chemics won it 21-17. They were down 7-0 rather quickly. In fact, part of what had happened that led to Traverse City's first touchdown was there was actually a blocked punt that went to the 10-yard line after Midland had their first possession, and it was basically a 3-and-out. And then, long story short, Midland beats Traverse City Central 21-17. With a couple minutes left, Traverse City gets a touchdown, thinking they would take the lead 17-14. Midland, right back down the field. Only took a minute and some change. Use of the running game. Scored. 21-17 is your final from Thurlby Field in Traverse City, Michigan. Now, with that win, Midland becomes one of only 10 active teams in Michigan high school football to win 500 games since 1950. I'm a part of a Midland High Chemic football group as well, the Midland High Chemic football group. We are the 10th team to reach that milestone at 500. There are 9 schools ahead of us. 9. One of them, a school called Monroe St. Mary in the town in Monroe in the Detroit area. Hopefully on Friday night we can get a win and St. Mary's can get a loss. Then that will rightfully put us at number 9. There's a school that is at 501 wins right now. I forget who they are, but maybe we win 2 straight, they lose 2 straight, then we'll be at number 8. Being made. Midland is known for winning. Wait a minute. Did I give away what side I was for? Never mind. What's that? That was for, like, rewind the tape, like the old cassette players that we would have. You just rewind it. All right, from Midland. How did Dow do? Dow was up 27-7. Traverse City West, clawed. Try to get back into it, but they fell to Traverse City Central. I mean, they fell to Dow Dow wins 27-20. Basically, the story of the year for Dow has been that when they've won, with the exception of their first win, they've been by 10 points or less. Both of their wins have been by 10 points or less. And they've only managed to score in the 20s and give up about 20. Plus, the 70 they gave up last week, previous week. Even though they scored 41, they gave up 70. It was an awful lot. So, Midland is 4-1. And after going 2-7 last year, is of the 32 teams that can make the playoffs in each division, currently in Division Two, based on playoff points, Midland would currently be number 9 out of 32. So 9, which is pretty good turnaround after you went 2-7 last year. Hopefully we just keep winning, and make noise. Now, Dow, they have a few tough games yet. And so we'll see what all happens there. All right, folks. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to you all next time.